Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 11th chapter, text 35. Vrindavanam sampravishya. Vrindavanam sampravishya. Sarva kala sukhavaham. Sarva kala sukhavaham. Tatra chakrur vrajavasam. Tatra chakrur vrajavasam. Shakatar arda chandravat. Shakatar arda chandravat. Vrindavanam sampravishya. Sarvakala sukhavaham. Tatra chakrur vajavasam. Shakatar arda chandravat. Vaishnavis. Vrindavanam. The sacred place by the name Vrindavan. Sampravishya. After entering. Sarvakala sukha avaham. Where in all seasons it is pleasing to live. Tatra. There. Chakru. They made. Vraja avasam, inhabitation of Vraj. Shakatai, by the bullock carts. Arda chandravat, making a semicircle like a half moon. Translation of a purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In this way they entered Vrindavan, where it is always pleasing to live in all seasons. They made a temporary place to inhabit by placing their bullock carts around them in the shape of a half moon. Purport. As stated in the Vishnu Purana, Shakati Vata Paryantas Chandrarda Kara Samstiti, and as stated in the Harivamsa, Kantakibi Pravridhabis Tata Kantakibir Drumai Nikatotshrita Sakabir Abhi Guptam Samantata. There was no need to make fences all around. One side was already defended by thorn trees, and thus the thorn trees, the bullock carts, and the animals encircled the inhabitants in their temporary residence. So I'm going to read a couple more. Yeah, two more, and I'll chant the Sanskrit myself, and then I'll read the purport to this text 37. Vrindavanam Govardhanam Yamuna Pulinani Cha Vikshasit Uttama Priti Ramam Madhavayor Nipa. O King Pariket, when Ram and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Yamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. Evam Vrajo Kusam Pratim Yachanto Balachistitai Kala Bhakyai Svakalena Vatsapalo Bahuvatu. In this way, Krishna and Balaram, acting like small boys and talking in half broken language, gave transcendental pleasure to all the inhabitants of Braj. In due course of time, they became old enough to take care of the cows. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As soon as Krishna and Balaram were a little grown up, they were meant for taking care of the calves. Although born of a very well-to-do family, they still had to take care of the calves. This was the system of education. Those who were not born in Brahmin families were not meant for academic education. The Brahmins were trained in a literary academic education, the Kshatriyas were trained to take care of the state, and the Vaishyas learned how to cultivate the land and take care of the cows and calves. There was no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated and later increase the numbers of the unemployed. Krishna and Balaram taught us by their personal behavior. Krishna took care of the cows and played his flute, and Balaram took care of agricultural activities with a plow in his hand. Om Aginatimananda Shajananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gudavena Maha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stafitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakaramayam Dadati Swapadantikam. So I'm going to focus on Srila Prabhupada's purport here, I just read. The other things are kind of pretty descriptive and self-explanatory. So Prabhupada says here in his purport, as soon as Krishna and Balaram were little grown up, they were meant for taking care of the calves. Although they were born of a very well-to-do family, they still had to take care of the calves. Why? What's the reason? In other words, Prabhupada's saying here, they were born of a very well-to-do family, so why did they have to take care of the calves? You know, somebody else could have been hired to do it. Well, that question is answered pretty much in the next sentence. It says, this was the system of education. Okay? So, they were young. How old were they? They were just, I think it's described here in the previous translation, one of the previous translations. They're still very young here. Just, you know, yeah, because they're speaking in broken language. That's what's, they were like small boys talking in half-broken language. So that means they were two or three, right? When the kids, you know, by four, kids are speaking in full sentences, pretty much, aren't they? So half-broken language is a three-year-old, maybe a four-year-old, let's say. And so they're 3 or 4 years old, and already they're being put in charge of the calves. So why? That's the system of education. They would learn responsibility. So you know, 3 or 4 years old, they were, that was happening. And also, another thing is, another possible reason, is they're honoring the system. You know, they were born in a family of Vaishyas, and that's what, the Vaishya children did. You know, they took pride the Vaishyas took pride in taking care, protecting the cows and developing agricultural activities. You know, like the Muchachas, they took pride in looking after the welfare of the state. The Brahmins, they took pride in educating the, you know, the general populace, like that. So that's another aspect of it. Now, jumping ahead here to later, a few sentences further down in this purport, Prabhupada says, there was no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated and later increase the numbers of the unemployed. So Prabhupada's referring to the educational system in contemporary human society. And he's saying here that it's a waste of time, basically. You know, people, time is being wasted. People are going to school. They're being falsely educated. And they later increase the number of the unemployed. Okay, well, the question needs to be asked then, what is true education? If what's going on today is false education, and Prabhupada's pointing out that the result is no good because people are unemployed, but what is true education? True education is what was going on back at that time, and what went on, in, you know, historically speaking, in India for who knows how many millenniums, helping, educating people, preparing people to go back home, back to Godhead. That's true education. Education that helps a soul progress towards going back home, back to Godhead, that's true education. An education that keeps a soul bound up in this material world and the cycle of repeated birth and death, that's false education. That's a waste of time, you know? Whereas the opposite, the other one, that's the perfect utilization of time. So that's what, actually, that's what this Krishna conscious movement is about. This is true education. What we're doing here is true education. It's trying to help people make progress towards going back home, back to Godhead. And this other system of education is, as Prabhupada says here, it's a waste of time. Actually, it's more than just a waste of time. It's a total disaster, basically, because it's spoiling the human form of life for people. I'll give you an example. Yesterday, we were distributing books at UNLV, University of Las Vegas, and just before we were getting ready to leave, I just ran to use the toilet because we can have a long drive. And as I was coming out, there was this boy standing there on had a skateboard next to him. He looked like a homeless guy. And he had like a big tattoo on his neck, you know, the whole thing there. And he was kind of dirty and everything. But I thought, I got to do something, try to help this guy, you know. So I gave him a easy journey to other planets, you know. And he seemed to, you know, he appreciated it. And we talked a little bit, just small talk. And then I could see the guy could appreciated the kindness. You know, that, wow, here's this guy. He's taking, going out of his way to give me this book and be a little bit friendly. And he appreciated that. And he was, as I was walking away, he was saying, hey, well, what's your name? I said, oh, you know, my name's Jeff. So my name is Chris. What's your name? I told him my name. So I said, well, I got to go. See you later. Hope you enjoyed the book. And I walked away. And as I was walking away, even though I'd given the book, I still felt like, wow, I wish I could do a little something more for this guy. You know, he seemed like a nice kid. So I thought, well, I grabbed a pear. I had a prasadam pear in the van there. So I grabbed that and ran back over there. But it was already gone. But the point is that, you know, he was this perfectly good human being. There's no, I mean, you know, his appearance, to look at him, he was a homeless, he was about probably 20, had a big tattoo there, and he was, you know, dirty and everything. But as soon as, when I spoke to him, he was nice, he was friendly, he was sane. I mean, you know, he appreciated that I was trying to be kind to him, and he knew how to, you know, talk and hold a conversation. I mean, there's nothing wrong with this guy. And it just made me feel really bad. And in other words, given the proper opportunity, he could be, you know, toward it. Actually, I was thinking like this. I was thinking, you know what? I bet you if I just said to this guy, hey, hop in this van. I'm going back to Los Angeles to a really far out place. He probably would have just hopped in. He probably would have plugged right into the Bhakti program. And point being that, like, but here, as a result of their educational system, here's this guy, perfectly nice guy. He's out on the street. with his skateboard in dirty clothes with a big tattoo down his neck. And that same fella, you know, if he had the good fortune to have more association with the devotees, could be in a bhakti program living in a Hare Krishna temple, you know, preparing himself to go back home, back to Godhead. See? So, you know, the Prabhupada says, palena parichita, you judge a process by the result. So, the result of this educational system is that, like, I don't know how many, you know, lots and lots and lots of perfectly good human beings are being just, like, wasted. Their lives are being wasted and ruined by this educational system. You see? This educational system is not meant to help people go back home, back to Godhead. It's meant for some other purpose. You know, behind it is people maybe who are very rich and powerful, and they want to, you know, they, from behind the scenes, they manipulate things in such a way that those interests are furthered. You know, that they remain rich and powerful and enjoy life the way they want to enjoy life. And, you know, the educational system is geared in such a way as they're mining for certain talents and abilities, and you know, the people who have them, wonderful, and the people who don't, you know, they're wasted. And they wind up, as this Prabhupada says here, unemployed. You know, in the Vedic system, nobody's unemployed. You know, nobody's unemployed. Anybody who's willing to work, there's something for them to do. You know, there's some way they could contribute and make progress in their life. So that's an important point. And, another thing was, you know, was this, so we just got back from traveling Sankirtan. On this point of proper education, I guess there's three of us, myself and Sachin Anoy and Garunga Prem, we would all say that you could see the result of getting proper training and education, what a difference it has on a person. Because we were we spent most of the time up in Utah, and we went up for this to distribute books at the Festival of Colors that Charup puts on in Spanish Fork. And you could see the difference in the people. You know, the people up there, it's between 52 to about 68% Mormons. And most of the, I think the kids that come to these festivals from a Mormon background. And the, you know, the thing is this, they actually do a lot of the same stuff we do. I mean, they're celibate until they're married, and then when they get married, they're encouraged to stay married. You know, I mean, divorce is really looked down upon. You're supposed to get married and stay married. You're supposed to obviously observe fidelity while, you know, during marriage. They don't smoke. They don't drink. They fast one day a month just to kind of put the body in its proper place and, you know, focus on the spirit. And the money that they save from during that day, they give to charity. So, you know, it's pretty far out. And the thing is this, when you talk to them, when you meet these people, these kids, you can experience the difference. You feel like, I felt like I was back in the United States, back in the, you know, 60s and the 70s in some conservative part of the country where people actually had some goodness. You could feel it. You know, they're not neurotic. You know, they stop and they talk. They're very polite, very respectful, interested. You know, even though it's another religion or something like that, and you really feel like you're talking to some human beings. You know, who haven't become degenerates or have been less affected by the age of calling the lower modes of nature. So my point is that, you know, the way you're trained, the way you're brought up, does have an effect on the kind of person you are, the kind of character you develop. So, the system of education in general is not facilitating. It's not helping people. Aside from the fact that they're left unemployed, outside perhaps the Mormon group there, you know, most people, they go through the educational system and they come out and get attached to illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and gambling. So not only are they unemployed, but their character is spoiled. Yeah, their whole lives are ruined, basically, as a result of that false, Prabhupada refers to the false educational system. Their whole lives are ruined. They haven't learned anything that's of value. The proof of that is there's no employment for them. Their character is ruined because they're engaged in all these sinful activities. So, it's a total tragedy, actually, was the word I was looking for before. Disaster, tragedy. It's a big tragedy because, the human form of life is so rare, so special, and here it is just, unfortunately being wasted like that. So, I guess the real thing is we have so much to offer. Sometimes we don't realize it ourselves. Maybe sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees like that. But what we're doing here is exactly right. What we're doing here is exactly right. This is real education. Exactly what we're being taught here in the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Purifying our consciousness, trying to prepare ourselves to go back home, back to Godhead. So we should take it very seriously. And we should also obviously be, try to prepare or wanting to share it with other people. And just this morning, for instance, I came back from the trip. I was standing in Mangalarti. And at one point I realized, I'm feeling a little bit blissful here. I was chanting, I was feeling a little bit blissful. And I was thinking, maybe Krishna's pleased that I'm preaching in Utah. Maybe I should try to preach in Utah a bit more. Then I thought, maybe Krishna's pleased that I'm, not that particularly that I'm preaching in Utah, but just that I'm performing the austerity of going out on traveling Sankirtan and preaching. And I thought, maybe Krishna's pleased that I'm back. And, that I'm back from the trip and I'm back here. And I thought, actually, I don't know. But I really didn't know if Krishna was pleased, but it felt like that, But I thought, I don't know why Krishna's pleased. And then I just prayed. I just prayed, whatever it is, please guide me. Because I just was praying to the deities. I exist for your pleasure. That's not, it's a sentiment, but it's a philosophically correct statement. I exist for your pleasure, so please guide me. Whatever I could do to please you, that's what I want to do. If you're pleased by me preaching in Utah, I'll go preach in Utah. If you're pleased by me just going out traveling Sankirtan, I'll do that. If you're pleased by my being back here, I'll stay back here. Whatever it is that you're pleased by, whatever pleases you, that's what I want to do. That's my life. That's the purpose of my existence, to please you, Lord, like that. So, we have to try to be thinking like that. Some sit here at Haritosana, how to please Krishna. How to please the spiritual master. Yasya prasadad, bhagavat prasado, yasya. I always mess up the long A, yasya, but it's aprasadan, Nagatith Katobina. It's by pleasing the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And when you don't please him, then yasya aprasadan. When he's not pleased, then your whereabouts are unknown. And, what's going to happen to you next? What form of life you're going to wind up in next? Who knows? We don't know. So, we should always be thinking like that. Be thinking like, okay, Prabhupada, and praying like that to our spiritual master. Guide me. Give me the intelligence. How can I please you? In the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Mahatmanas tumam partha daivim prakritim ashrita bhajanti ananyamanaso gyatva bhutadim aviyam. That the great souls, they're always under the protection of the divine energy. Daivim prakritim ashrita. They're being guided. They're being guided. Which means that they're a devotee who's advancing in Krishna consciousness and engaging sincerely in devotional service. He's receiving, that guidance comes in the form of you feel inspiration. You're feeling like Krishna gives you intelligence and inspires you from within what to do, how to favorably engage in devotional service. That same thing is stated in the 10th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna says, Tesham, famous verse, Tesham Satyati Yuktanam Bhajatam Pratipurvakam Vidami Buddhi Yogam Tam Yenamam Priyandite. To those who are constantly devoted and worship me with love, I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. And Krishna inspires you from within. That's the guidance. That's what's meant by being put under the guidance of the internal energy. And that should be our only desire. That should be our desire, actually, to be under the guidance of the Daivi Prakriti, the internal energy of the Lord. Right? And to be actually, at every moment of our lives, to be consciously desiring to act in a way that's pleasing to our spiritual master. That's it. There's nothing else to be desired beyond that. That's actually our constitutional position, you know, as eternal servants of Krishna. You know, that's how we should be thinking. And that might sound like very lofty. That might sound like, wow, that's really sort of very high philosophy, you know, he's talking about. But actually, it's in one sense it is, and in another sense it's very what's the word? It's not so far out, because as I mentioned in previous classes, right up here in this room here, Prabhupada was asked, do all the souls come to the material world? This professor asked. And Prabhupada said, no, 10%. And then he paused and he said, less than 10%. So if you, think about that statement, that means that over 90% of the jivas that exist, and that's, of course, a lot of jivas, but over 90% of the jivas that exist don't come to the material world. You know, they're in the spiritual world with Krishna. So the point I'm making is not such an uncommon thing. You know, we think of going back to Godhead as like, oh, going back to Godhead, like, whoa, that's becoming a pure devotee, going back to Godhead, being in the spiritual world. That's like, man, that's really, I don't know, I could, you know, if anyone could do that. But it's really a commonplace thing. Over 90% of the jivas are in the spiritual world. They're back to Godhead. They never left, and they never will. Well, they may, who knows, but they haven't up to this point. They're Nichisiddha. So we're in the bottom 10% of our class here, so to speak. So, no, it's a good way to think, to kind of push yourself a little bit. Come on. I mean, when you're in high school, is anybody here in the bottom 10% of their class? I hope not. If you are, it didn't make a difference. You're here now. That's it. But, you know, nobody wanted to be in the bottom 10% of the class. That's like, whoa. So, something to meditate on. Why should we remain in the bottom 10% of the class, so to speak, of the living entities? Most of the jivas, 90% plus of our God brothers and God sisters, are there in the spiritual world, and some Vaikuntha planet or Goloka Vrindavan, engaging in pastimes with Lord Narayan or Krishna, like that. So, that's what we want. That's what we want. And we should be, conscious of that. That's what Prabhupada's offering. That's what this Krishna consciousness movement is actually offering. It's offering us an opportunity, and everybody else, to get out of the this material world and go back and be reinstated in our eternal constitutional position as servants of Krishna. So if we take it up, we should take it up very enthusiastically, be really sincere. I'm saying this so you could all learn from my mistakes rather than learn from your mistakes. Just take it from me. I've been, right around this time of the year, 44 years ago, I moved into the temple in Brooklyn. Okay? And on the whole, I mean, it's been a good run. I don't regret it. If I had it to do over again, I would do the same thing. But if I would do anything differently, what I would do differently, I would have been a lot more sincere. As if I could kind of turn back the clock or jump in all over again, I might be in a few years. You never know. I'm coming back here. But the only thing I would do differently is that I would try to be a lot more sincere than I was now, this time. You see? So take it from me, those of you who are in the temple here for, a few months, a few years, whatever, be really sincere. Be really sincere. You're doing the right thing. You've done the right thing. You're doing the right thing. Now just be super sincere about it, because that way you'll reap the benefits much more, And you could learn from the, from my mistake rather than, like the Prabhupada says, there's different ways of learning. The first class way of learning is you learn by hearing, which is this. I'm telling you, be very sincere. Take my word for it. You'd be better off. The second class way of learning is you learn. You don't learn from hearing, but you see somebody else's mistakes and you realize, okay, I heard that, and now I'm seeing that this person is suffering because he did this wrong thing. Okay, I'm not going to do it. And then I guess third class learning is you don't learn. You know, you heard, you see, and you still don't. So be first class. First class is, take it from me, be really super sincere. That's the way to go. You'll get the most out of Krishna consciousness. And, yeah, that was one last point I wanted to make. Okay, not coming to me. I just had one final point, but it's not escaping me. So I'll stop there. Maybe it'll come back to me. Yeah, questions. And then the Kirtan Prabhu.
Thank you for the nice class. It seems to me that you're doing everything that you could be doing. So what does it mean to be more sincere?
Okay, well, more sincere means that you utilize your time very nicely. I remember back in the early days, it was quite common to see devotees walking around with their bead bag. And even way after the morning program, they'd just be walking around, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Because it wasn't like chanting was just something for the morning program, during japa time in the morning, and that was it. Even after, devotees were always trying to be hearing and chanting. Devotees were preaching to each other. Quite a common thing was like you're driving in a car or something like that, the devotees would sit down and one devotee would start reading to the other devotees. So try to fully utilize your time for being absorbed and hearing and chanting, reading Prabhupada's books, discussing. We had a really good experience when we were traveling, because there's just three of us. So we had Bhagavatam class every morning, but I gave the class, but I thought, I'm not just going to speak the whole time. So I spoke a little bit, but because it was just three of us, it was more like an istagosti. We really analyzed the purport. We read and said, what does this mean? And I would say what I thought. And then Sachid Noy would say what he thought, and Garanga Prem would say what he thought. And we would discuss it. And we felt like we were getting a lot out of that. So I'm not just suggesting we change the format of the Bhagavatam class. No, but I think that's called istagosti. Prabhupada, in the third canto, the Srimad Bhagavatam, Prabhupada actually gives that as the definition of istagosti, that when like-minded devotees discuss the philosophy among themselves and they cement their understanding. And it really worked. We were doing it, and Garanga Prem, Prabhu made the comment after, and he said, I wish the Bhagavatam class back at the temple was like this. I really stay awake. It really, challenges my intelligence. It gets me to think. And see, so he felt he was right. He felt he was getting a lot out of it. And you do. As I said, I'm not suggesting this is what we're doing is proper here. Of course, there's a lot of people that couldn't really do it, and so many people. But in small groups, it's important to sit down, read together. Sit two, three, four devotees. Sit down, open. Grab any one of Prabhupada's books, open it anywhere, read a couple things, and just say, okay, well, what does that mean to you? What's your understanding of that? How do we understand? And then you discuss it. And it's really enlivening. You get a lot out of it. So that's the way you can make better utilization of your time. Reduce eating, reduce sleeping, just the obvious things. We all know what we're supposed to be doing and what we're not supposed to be doing. So you just have to try harder to do the things you know you're supposed to do and not do the things you know you're not supposed to do. But, do you want more specifics, or is that enough?
Yeah, that was good.
Thank you. I don't know who had their hand up second. Sachin Anoy? Prabhu? I stopped early, so we've got time for questions.
Hari Bol, Prabhu. In that same college that you met that person,
yeah.
You get in regards to education, I also met, I think I told you, I met a student who, after giving her a book, she said that she knew a Hare Krishna devotee. And she then asked me, after talking to her, would you like to speak to him in a video? I said, mm-hmm. Yes. So I was explaining to her that the value of why is important. Yes, also, I was telling her about, just in a nutshell, devotees like Radhika Raman, he went to school. Then we have another lady in Hawaii who is a congressman. So they're very, very valuable. So they went to school too. And then I found a verse here that says, Krishna says, Rite artam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chadmani tatvidya admanomayam yatavaso yatatamaha. Krishna says, O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality, nor as my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So, the point is, maybe you can expand it, okay. But I was thinking that we do have a lot of students right here. We have a teacher in class, Nila Madhava. So, provided of how you focus your energy and although being there, but at the same time being with Krishna. In other words, not being caught up, not getting from their side, their education, but actually you go to learn and to expand and help Krishna consciousness movement. Possible.
So your question is like, on the one hand, you didn't want to discourage her. You wanted to encourage her. You know, oh, this is good what you're doing, because you could. There are people who are educated and they're good devotees too, but at the same time there's that verse where it really indicates that it's all a waste of time. Anything that's not pure devotional service is a waste of time. Yeah, well, I think as preachers, one of the primary duties of a preacher is he has to try to help the person that you're talking to. You can't just like try to, you know, push some particular idea on him. You have to be sensitive to where is that person at that I'm talking to, and try to help them in their spiritual life. For somebody, it might be telling them, you know what, you're wasting your time. Get out of this whole thing and just come and join the temple. And for somebody else, that wouldn't be the right thing to say. The right thing to say would be very good what you're doing. Now just keep doing this, and at the same time, be as Krishna conscious as you possibly can. So I think that's the idea, that we have to try to, you know, try to understand who we're talking to, where they're at in their spiritual lives, and try to say something that's going to help them go further, make progress. And Krishna will give us that intelligence. If we're sincere about preaching, Krishna will give us that intelligence. Yeah? Neela.
I was thinking that how is it possible to distribute Srila Prabhupada's books for 44 years if you're not sincere? I mean, obviously you're very sincere, Prabhuji.
But a lot of room for improvement. A lot of room for improvement.
Yeah. Well, then there's no hope for me. I mean, I tell you.
I just
wanted to comment on, well, I'm a substitute teacher. I'm not a teacher. I just, you know, I was realizing that you go into college and go into the education program, that they're training you to work like an ass, 16 hours a day. And, you know, I wasn't. The only thing of value I received in, as far as education is from this institution with the Gurukul system. That at pretty much going to college, I learned how to become less than a dog. That's what I learned. So, you know, I really, really appreciate your class. And,
so you support Prabhupada's statement there that there was no need to waste time going to school to be falsely educated and later increase the number of the unemployed. You support that
100%.
Statement wholeheartedly. Okay.
Yeah. I think that's the worst thing you can do. Violence is waste people's time because the human life is so valuable. And, you know, Radhika Raman Prabhu was mostly educated on the Srimad Bhagavatam in his formative years. In fact, that's what got him into college,
right.
Is that we have all the textbooks here.
For those of you who don't know, Radhika Raman is a devotee. He lives up in, he's the chairman of the Department of Religion at Utah University. I'm not sure what it's called, in Logan, in the northern part of Utah. And he's a very wonderful devotee, aside from being a brilliant person. Yeah. Well, you finish up, Kat, sorry, and then Savas. Good, Neela.
I think that's all the points. Is that one realization I had is that on the material level, everybody's a loser because you're going to lose this body, your family connections, you're going to lose your house, your education, your car, everything you're going to lose. So if you're intelligent, you should try to invest in spiritual advancement.
Right on. That's a beautiful point. Thank you. Suhas Prabhu.
Hi, thank you for a very nice class, very enlightening. On this idea of seriousness in Krishna consciousness, it's always a very big question for all of us. And Prabhupada has said many times that there's an example that I thought about. That was when Lord Shiva was preaching to the Prachetas. And they went to meditate how to become expert householders and for progeny. But instead, Lord Shiva approached them and started preaching to them. And in that effect of preaching, Prabhupada said that they seriously listened to Lord Shiva and his instructions. And by that serious listening, that hearing, what the spiritual master wanted, Srila Prabhupada said that they achieved perfection just from the hearing, the instruction. So Prabhupada said that that is actually the secret of success. So we're all looking for success, each and every one of us, no matter what we do, we want success. And Prabhupada said here that that is the secret. So we need to listen very, you know, unhesitatingly. Listen to the instruction of the spiritual master. And everything is there. That's the supreme education for complete satisfaction, for happiness. Prabhupada said that the acharya, the spiritual master, he represents both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the Vaishnavas. And if we listen to his instructions, this is who we'll please. We'll please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We'll please all the Vaishnava devotees. And then Prabhupada said that everything will be okay. Everything will be all right. So I think that, you know, when we discuss this issue of advancement, that should be the forefront, that instruction. And Prabhupada said that a disciple should take that instruction unhesitatingly. We shouldn't even like hesitate a moment. We should study, we should learn that instruction and execute it. And of course, Prabhupada wanted us to preach to Krishna consciousness movement. So if we all absorb ourselves in how we're going to preach this Krishna conscious movement, then that is perfect worship of the Supreme Lord, of the Vaishnavas and of the Acharya, Srila Prabhupada. And that will make us fully satisfied. We can see that we get distracted. This is something that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentioned, Vyasyatmika Buddhi Ekeka Kurunandana. That one-mindedness should be there. That focus should be there. And that one-mindedness, that focus, is what should be the discipline of a disciple. And in that way, the world becomes happy and satisfied, as what Prabhupada did. He focused on the instruction of his guru, and he made us, so many of us, happy. We didn't even know how it came about. But we were very fortunate to come in contact with that pure soul like Srila Prabhupada. And just by that moment's association with him, you became happy. Fully elated and ecstatic and happy just to be alive and to be in the presence of Srila Prabhupada. That's what's waiting for us, that really absorb ourselves in the instruction of the spiritual master.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Prema? That was quite a, thank you, a little class in and of itself. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
If it's not secret, can you say publicly what were your mistakes in your devotional life?
Overeating,
so you make many mistakes.
Oversleeping, allowing my mind to indulge in, at least on the mental platform, in illicit sexual activities. I mean, it's the obvious stuff, you know. Not being lazy about reading Prabhupada's books. Right off the top of my head, those, you know, those are things that we all have to guard against, because that, you know, tendency is always there. But if you try, you can make progress. Yes, Sashi.
Jai Prabhu, thank you very much. I was thinking about a story years ago that I heard Satsrup Maharaj actually spoke, where these devotees, he was telling a story, and there was all these devotees, and Srila Prabhupada, you're an incarnation of Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada's response was, I'm not an incarnation of Krishna. I'm a devotee of Krishna. And then he reconsidered, Srila Prabhupada reconsidered, and he said, actually, I'm not a devotee of Krishna. I'm trying to become a devotee of Krishna. So I was thinking in that way, you know, you're saying, you know, how, you know, you weren't sincere in the beginning, and it, or, you know, you could have been more sincere, but I was thinking about this story about, you know, Srila Prabhupada, and how, you know, we have to keep things in perspective, because, you know, we're, you know, what's our position? We're Srila Prabhupada was trying to be a devotee, and in his humility, he, you know, he said that, but, you know, what is our position? I mean, we're just, I don't know, we're trying, or maybe we're not even trying, I don't know, but the fact that you've been steady for, you know, 44 years, because I remember very specifically with you in the beginning, I saw you and I thought, wow, this is a nice example of a book distributor,
thank you,
devotee, kind-hearted person. And you've actually had a lot of influence on a lot of people's lives, so anyway, that's it.
Oh, well, listen,
not to try to defeat you with what you, how you were feeling, but I wanted to just share that.
Just
story.
A couple practical tips. Recently, Prema Sankirtan turned me on to something. It's called Prabhupada Radio. Anybody who has an iPhone, it's an app, and you can download it. It's free, and it plays Prabhupada 24/7, right around the clock. I mean, you use up a lot of data messaging, but it's there. And I already mentioned this other idea. If you have an iPhone that no longer works as an iPhone, download a you know, a bunch of lectures on it of your spiritual master Prabhupada, because I did it in such a noise, I've done it now with his iPhone. The battery is such that it plays for like 24 hours before you have to charge it again. So it's like a super iPod. And it just plays and plays and plays, and you don't have to worry about recharging it. So it's a great way to always be listening to transcendental sound vibration, which is what we want to be doing as close to 24/7 as possible. Okay, so we'll stop there. Thank you very much. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.